can avoid, we are assured that we will get burned or smart for it. No one likes to get burned. No one likes to get somebody to take advantage of you. We can avoid it by heading to the word, heeding to God's word of, and his word teaches us today that we can trust in his word. But there's one exception. Jesus made an exception to his own warning and allowed love to constrain him to do the very thing he knew would cause him to suffer. Philippians 2:6-8, it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. God did something miraculous when he laid himself down for you and me. A very unselfish act. Romans 5:6-8. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did it for you. He did it for me. He died for us. A very unselfish act, wanting to make a way for you and I to have redemption. So the state of affairs in man's need. Man was in desperate situation. There was no hope, amen, for man on earth. Not one man could come up with a necessary price. Not one man could even borrow enough money to come up with what was needed to pay the price for our sin. We were hopeless. We were without hope. Even the most religious person faced the same need. It didn't matter how good you were or how righteous you may have been. Hebrews 5:1-3, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. And verse 3. And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. The most righteous among us hath to have a sacrifice for our sin, for our wrong. Romans 3:10-18 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There are They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. Their poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That was you and I before we met Jesus Christ. Amen. This was our life. This is how we lived life. Amen. Doing all sorts of ungodly things. Paul scraped together the most deplorable words possible and used them to describe the need of every man. When I say man, I mean man, women, child, everyone. So at the mercy of the judge, the word translated powerless means impotent or without any means of pleading our cause. We had no hope. We had no way to come and plead our cause. The only plea man could possibly have entered was guilty. Guilty. Genesis 2, 16 through 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." By that one man, sin entered into all. Amen. We were born into sin. We were shapen in iniquity. Amen. We had no hope but for God. Romans 5, 6 says, "Ye see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." You had no power. You had no way to bring yourself back to God's righteousness. Powerless without God. Powerless without His mercy. Powerless without hope. Aren't you glad He took a risk? The dilemma is, it seems hard to imagine that God had a dilemma on His hands. But it, in some ways, He did. There are some who believe that even though God has the ability to see the end from the beginning, amen, He chooses not to see it. If that is the case, it makes for a great dilemma. And the choice that He eventually makes even more sacrificial. God was getting ready to do something powerful. It meant guaranteed to suffer. Proverbs 11:15, it says, "Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to shake hands in pledge is safe." Man sinned, and God, who is just, had to follow through with his warning. In Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteous of the unrighteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Any parent who threatens but doesn't follow through is doing the child a disservice. You know, the one, two, and you just keep counting, and you start over, and you start over again. You're doing a disservice. You're not loving the child like God wants us to love them. Amen. God is a God of taking care of business, not fooling around. It would have been much easier to play it safe. Whoever refuses to strike hands in a pledge is safe. You got yourself into this predicament. You get yourself out. There is a time for tough love. But in this case, the individual could not get himself out. He needed the assistance, the security, the guarantee of someone with more money and better credit than he had. He needed some hope. So let's consider others' possibilities. Let's look at some things. God could have said, I'll just destroy them and start over. That would just, you know, just destroy everyone and start over. He almost did that in Moses' day. God said, I'm going to destroy the people. Thank God for a man of God. Exodus 32:10. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt? And with great power and with a mighty hand you did these things. God brought them out miraculously. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did you bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn thy face from wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Fortunately, for Israel's sake, Moses displayed the heartbeat of God. Exodus 32:11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt? Moses took the risk and put up the security for the people of Israel, and God loved him for it. Moses had the heartbeat of God. and for the people. And he laid himself out there so that God would change his mind. He was constrained by love. It was love that had gotten a hold of Moses' heart. The love of God created, he was created in God's image. He had the love of his creator for the people. There was a love for them that God would spare the people and that God would not taint his name to the Egyptians. God has many characteristics, and one of those characteristics is love. He is love. God is love. Amen. And God has love for you today. Amen. His love is extended in this place today so that you can be loved here today. Amen. God loves you. His love is everlasting. His love is extended to each and every one of us today. Being created in God's image, man was created to love. God wants you to love. God wants you to minister love to your brothers and to your sisters. God wants us to have love one for another. Often we develop a picture of God based on earthly relationships. So many times we come in out of the world, we don't understand the love of God. All we know is the love from our lives that we've experienced, and some very poorly. That's not God's love. That's not a picture of the love of God. Amen. And we have to fight through those things. We have to fight through that and try to figure out and understand God's love. It's totally different than what we're used to in our humanity. Amen. We don't understand love like we ought to understand it. Amen. God's love is so much different than what we've experienced love as. Amen. And so with that, we take the Word of God and we look through it through the eyes of our perception of the love of God. And we try to understand the scripture and understand how God can do things for me through man's idea of love. But let us get a picture of the love of God and what he did. He took a risk. He took a risk and laid himself down. And that kind of love, that agape love, was shed to each and every one of us. We were created in God's image. 1 John 4:8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Amen. We know love today. Amen. God is love. Often we develop a picture of God based on these earthly relationships. And one of the most common examples of love is that pictured in marriage. The great love story of those that in the scripture in Genesis 29:20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. It was a long-lasting love, one that would lay everything down to receive his bride. The heart of God is often this depicted in the mother's love for her child. Moms, don't care what your child has done, the love is still there. Many prisons are filled with men that have done wrong and done horrible things, but mom still shows up. And mom still cares, and mom still comes to visit, and mom still comes and shows up and shows her love for her son. A king's character three tells of one of two women who brought her their child into the world, and about the same time, one accidentally suffocated her child by laying on it while sleeping. And she replaced her dead child with the other woman's living child. Then they took their dispute to Solomon. Knowing the strength of love, Solomon asked a soldier to bring a sword so that he could cut the remaining child into part and divvy it up. What a gruesome picture. But what a wise move. Because this king understood the wisdom that he had, understood what love was about ready to do. The true mother asked Solomon to give the whole baby to the false mother, because she couldn't bear to see that child die because of her love. I would rather see it live and not be in my presence, but know that it's okay. That's love. That's true love. Jesus puts up security for us. Amen. It might appear that God was blinded by love. However, he understood that he made a decision to take the risk. He took it for you and me. He continually takes the risk. Galatians 4:4 through 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He took the fall for you and I. Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We became recipients of his love. Amen. He took a risk and paid the ultimate price so that he could give us redemption, so that he could have fellowship with us. Amen. If we will make the choice to take upon us his name. Yeah. Amen. And be baptized in his name. And be filled with his spirit. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. We can walk in the power of his fellowship. And we can have redemption. Oh, what a great God we serve here today. Amen. That's why we show up. Amen. Because we want to share the love of God with not only our brothers and sisters in this congregation, but we want to share the love of God with the lost out there. The ones that where we once were. Such were some of you. But now you are sanctified. Now you are washed. Amen. God has, he has took the risk, and you believed in him, and you confessed him in your life, and you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now you have hope. Now you have access to the pure love of God. Amen. Isn't it great to know that you have his love? Amen. And that your life is secure as long as you keep your life under his blood. We have hope that we will be with him forever in eternity. He became the recipient of the greatest form of security the world has ever known. Songwriter wrote, "Crucified, laid behind the stone, you live to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all." He took the risk for you so that you didn't have to live in fear, so that you didn't have to be bound by sin, so that you didn't have to suffer the condemnation of your sins any longer. Amen. But you could lay it all down before him, and he cleansed you, and he made you clean, and he made you righteous, no longer having sin applied on your life. It's just as if you never sinned. Amen. We are made righteous by his sacrifice, by his risk, what he did for you and I. Today is Building Fund Sunday. And I'm going to ask all of us today to take a risk for the love of God in your life. Why? Because of his love that was shed abroad for us, so that not only we can have redemption by knowing what he did, but that through what we do today, someone else is going to have a chance to experience the risk that he took. Amen. By what we do in this place today, we're going to perpetuate this church forward into the future and know that God is in control. Amen. That God is going to reach lives for the gospel, and he's going to use each and every one of us to do that today. Amen. We have taken I got estimates, three estimates on the parking lot out here. Everybody can see that it's in dire need of repair. And it's beyond just putting a little bit of asphalt oil on it to seal it up. So we took three estimates. We settled with the mid estimate, and it's through Advanced Asphalt Paving Incorporated. And the estimate they gave us is for $21,139. The highest was $37,000. And the lowest was $18,000 plus. The lowest one brought us just a resurface. No fixing holes, bad spots, anything. The highest took everything away and started over. So I felt by speaking with this gentleman that what he plans to do is go in and fix bad spots and then do a surface coat, beat that in real well, and then do the finish coat. If you're not aware, has anybody ever done anything to your home lately, repair-wise? Fix a roof or window or bathroom, or put in a cabinet in the kitchen or something. It's not cheap. Nothing is cheap anymore. Amen. Back 10 years ago when we built the church in Ripman, things, the building cost were probably $75 a square foot. I'm sure that's probably in the 80s or 90s by now, within 10 years here. Not sure, but guesstimate, I would say probably $85 to $95 per square foot. You might know. it's not cheap to do anything when it comes to repairing. Since I've been a part of this church, as pastor of this church, even before I became pastor, we've done some repairs. We dug up the whole foundation of this church. We water sealed the walls. We replaced the pipes and made it so that no water, we was getting flooded. And you guys remember it well. But the place was getting flooded. That's why the carpet looks like this downstairs, which needs replaced. But we tackled that. We took care of that very cost effectively. Then after I became pastor, there was plans already in the works to do some kind of addition or remodeling of the building to expand. And so they had sold property to the neighbor across the way here for that to happen. So I felt to just use what we had and knock out a wall here. And we remodeled this place for somewhere in the figure of $20,000. And we used that money from the property sale to do those things. Then we took some funds. We asked everybody to pay for the air condition. We had window air conditions, and we replaced with a new heating and air conditioned system. We paid for that through pledges, and God has blessed. Amen. We're comfortable today. Amen. Because of it. So you can see that with the remodeling, okay, we did that for $20,000. Turned this place around to basically a brand new building. And we did that very, very low cost. Had that been done with a contractor, we would have probably had to take out a loan to pay the contractor to do the work. But we did all the work ourselves. Basically, we had a few things hired out, but we took care of business very cost effectively. So just wanting to try to give you a picture of how that we're trying to keep things very cost effectively when we do something. And we want the best for the least. Amen. That's how we operate. We don't want to pay for something it seems like, oh my, that's a lot of money. Yeah, it is. But it's just the fact that that's just the way it is. So, unbeknownst to us, up comes the septic system. $20,000. Boom. No choice. We have to do it. It wasn't in the plans. It wasn't in the it was hope for me that God would give us another place and we wouldn't have to deal with it. But that didn't happen. We paid $20,000 for that septic system. Our last payment is getting ready to be sent out, $9,000. So I haven't asked any of us to pay for that. That is something that is coming out of nowhere. So the church has funds. But there's very little in our building fund. Amen. There's a few of us, very few of us, that have given building fund, and maybe not by your choice. It's this, we haven't really pushed a building fund project. So today we're going to begin a building fund campaign. Amen. This will take us into the future. Amen. We've had prophecy come to church here over that God was going to give us buildings, and I believe that, and I'm still believing for God to give us Stony Hill Church. But in the meantime, until God does that, we got to make some plans. And if God's plan is for that to happen 6 years from now, then it'll happen. But in the meantime, if you look around, today there's a lot of people out. And we're basically three-quarters of the way full. If you look at our parking lot, the last couple Sundays I've been keeping an eye on it, we're about two or three parking lots from being completely full. Two or three spaces from being the parking lot being completely full. So we need to look forward to the future of how we're going to expand here on this property, or if God would take us somewhere else. Amen. So in the future here, I'm going to be looking into plans of building on this property, and that will cost a very exorbitant amount of money. Getting plans drawn up for a building cost anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 just to have somebody draw up plans. That was 10 years ago. So that's just kind of an idea. When you go to do things like this, it costs money. It's expensive. But you have to have it done that way. That's just the way it works. You know, when we did the beam, it had to be done by a professional, you know, so that it was done properly. So, and those things cost money. And so that's why we're going to start a building fund endeavor, so that we can build an account for these things, like parking lot, building problems, anything that might arise. I'd forgotten to mention, we put a roof on this building as well. $10,000 it cost to put a new roof that will last probably the entirety of this building. It'll last for a very, very long time. So a lot of things have been done to keep this building up to par. Amen. And we want to keep it looking very nice. And the more we put into it, the more we'll get out of it. You know, thank God this building is completely paid for. There's no debt that this church owes. This church is debt free. And that is something to give yourself a hand for. Amen. That frees us up to send missionaries all around the world. Right. Amen. That frees us up to bless churches like we did last night. The man of God asked that we be a blessing to this church. And the Lord put in my spirit $5,000. And we gave $5,000 to a church last night, because God said that he would provide for us. Amen. I am a man of faith, and I believe God will replenish, and he will bless in the time of need. Amen. God is going to do it. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way, but he's going to use you to do it. Amen. So today, I would like to ask that we give that we try to retire this debt of $21,000, $21,139. That's what we're going to pay to have our parking lot redone. And then I want us to give a pledge, a monthly pledge, from here on to see our future go forward. Amen. It's your building. It's your church. God took a risk on us. Now we can take a risk and believe God for greater things in our future. So not only that we can continue to have his mercy upon our lives, but because of his love, someone else that we know, that we come into contact with, can have the grace of God in their life. Amen. But it's only if we believe and we trust and we move forward in the kingdom of God and trust the Lord to bless us. Amen. Does anybody have any questions? As far as financially, this church's books is always open. If you need to see, you know, how we spend money, how things are going in and out, you can come to me, okay? And we'll open that up to you. But, you know, just know that we are doing our dead level best to make this church prosperous and the blessings of the Lord flow in this place. Amen. You can't have a miracle. Amen. A miracle comes from something that is impossible. Amen. So we gotta believe God for the impossible. Brother Pritt said today, by the Holy Ghost, that God owns it all. And he's our Father. And he's given it anything that we ask for. Okay? All you have to do is ask, he said. All right? So, are we willing today, as he did, to take a risk? What is risk? Faith. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Amen? You didn't know that, did you? But it is. When you have faith, you're risking. You're stepping out and not knowing. Jesus told Peter, come. Walk on water? Okay. R-I-S-K. And he walked on water. On the word of God. To where Jesus told him to go. So, I'm going to have somebody pass out the red ones, the pinkish, whatever color that is. Those are for you. Write your amount on there. These white ones come back to us. And these will be monthly, weekly, or yearly pledges. Just circle if it's a monthly pledge or a weekly pledge. I hope it's a weekly strong pledge. But... But before we fill these out, I want us to just go ahead and pass them out. But before you fill it out, I'm going to have us pray and just ask the Lord what we should do and what sacrifice we should make today. Amen. If God's dealing with your heart, Brother Pritt. This is just the paper I'm passing around is just for the building fund from here out. Building fund will take care of things that we need to do on this building, preparing for if we build a new building, funds that would take care of, you know, getting the paperwork and stuff taken care of, plans drawn up, things of that nature. Right now, as of this year, we've had about $1,500 in that area come in for building fund. So, as you can see, that's not a whole lot of money to work with when it comes to taking care of needs of the building. Amen. I consider parking as part of the building here because it's necessary to have parking to come into this building. So it's part of the process of having a building. So then I would like to ask, and you pray and believe God, that whatever God wants to bring through you to help pay for this parking lot, if you want to make a donation, if you want to pay for it all, God will bless you. But it would take basically 21 people $1,000 to take care of it. We'll go a year. But we want to, you know, get rid of it as soon as possible. But basically we're just coming to us as a church and saying, here, this is our building. And we as a body, one thing I don't know, you may understand it, I don't know if you do or not. This church does not generate funds. It has no way of creating income. The only way that money comes in here is through you and through me. We give. What we give is how this church operates. So that may help you to understand that anything that we do in this church is paid for by you. So, you know, whatever's in this church is something that we're using for the use of this church. So it's paid for through you. So we want to be able to do things properly and well and have a nice facility. So it has to be, we have to give more than what we have been as far as building fund to see our future go forth and continue to keep this place up, so that when we if it were to come to have to sell this place to purchase another place, this place would give us a very good amount to put down on another place. So we're putting money in the bank when we fix this place up, basically, is what we're doing. Amen. We're investing when we give for this place, because this is a very good area. You know, cost of living here is a little higher than most places. We're finding that out looking for a home. So we're not going to lose money with this facility in any way. You know, so... $21,000. No, you pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord what we should give. And when God puts that number in your mind, that's the number you give, all right? Not the second, not the third, the first number he puts in your mind. Amen? So your monthly, what you're holding in your hand is... monthly what you're going to begin to give from here on out. Okay, if your husband is not, or your wife or whatever is not among us, and that's how you depend upon giving, take that home and talk to them. Pray and ask God, talk to them about what they would allow you. And we'll see what God will do there as well. We'll give you till next week to bring these back. And bring these back. Talk to whoever you have to talk to, and just say, you know, hey, this is our church. This church looks out for us. They look out for our family. And what can we give as a family to bless the kingdom of God? And you know that God will bless you. Amen. He will pour out his blessings upon your life. So let's stand and let's pray and let's just ask God, first of all, what he wants us to give monthly to the building.